We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are things you have to do that I dread doing. I'll tell you, a lot of times if I've seen a movie and I know the ending and it's sad, I don't want to see that movie again because I know it's going to happen and I know it's sad and I don't want to see it. Likewise, when my team is playing and they're getting blown out, you turn the TV off because you don't want to see the pain of them getting killed. Yeah, every once in a while, you know, if you have DirecTV, you hit the red score button to see if maybe they're coming back. But you go, I don't want to go through the pain of watching them lose and see their faces. So I Christian Winfield, I speak to you now with a heavy heart. I was really hoping, counting on the Brooklyn Nets going to the NBA Finals. If they lost there, I'd say, all right, well, you know, they got there. But they're not going to get there now. And it's going to be a difficult conversation. How about you? I know you're a journalist and you can't root, but what about your expectations of following a local team deep into the playoffs?
You know, those expectations for me really came crashing down when Kyrie Irving came crashing down on Giannis Antetokounmpo's foot, right? Because at that point, then just from watching the injury, I was out there in Milwaukee, and those boos and the curses that were directed at Kevin Durant really turned into genuine concern for Kyrie. And at that moment, I knew that he wasn't going to be able to come back. So now you're looking at, okay, well, James Harden is probably at that point not ready to come back, and we could tell that he wasn't ready at all. Came through game when he comes back. Game five. That was the first basketball he'd played on that hamstring injury since he suffered the injury in game one. So it was just unfortunate, you know. It makes this season even tougher to digest or even dare grade, because it's, you know, it really boiled down to simple math. You know, the Bucks, after the injuries, just had more healthy, good players than the Nets did, you know. And we saw Kevin Durant go. I mean, Kevin played some of the best basketball that I've witnessed in person. The Bucks just had more weapons. Giannis, two-time MVP. Chris Middleton showed you what he can do. Jrue Holiday gets free down the stretch for those critical buckets late in the game last night. PJ Tucker, Brooke Lopez. I mean, the Bucks just had more weapons. And it's funny because the Nets are talented as this offensive juggernaut with all this firepower, but it's the Bucks that had the weapons in the end. So after Kyrie's injury, I knew that this was going to be a tough one for the Nets to pull out.
Yeah, but you figure if they could go back to Brooklyn, I mean, game six, you figure, all right, they're going to lose that. But you go back to Brooklyn, you figure you got the home crowd, you've got KD playing at such a high level. The problem was, though, in the fourth quarter into the overtime, he was the team. I mean, in terms of the number of shots, in terms of the plan, it was give him the ball, let him do his thing, and if he hits a shot, great. If he doesn't hit a shot, well, nobody else is really taking charge here. And even though Harden was on the court, it was half a Harden. You know, if he was healthy, he could have taken over the game for 10 minutes, but he wasn't. And it was all on one guy's shoulders, and as great as he is, one against five is not a fair fight.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what happens when you've got, like you said, James Harden on one leg and then Kyrie Irving out. The Bucks defense is just able to key in on Kevin, knowing that, you know, this is what it boils down to. And this is kind of what has plagued the Nets also. Just this series kind of showed you a bunch of different things that, you know, have kind of worked against the Nets this year. Number one, the Bucks crushed them on the offensive glass, which every team with any traditional, not even traditional, but any team with a real big man has given the Nets problems on the glass, offensively especially. Number two, just the Nets couldn't completely take care of the ball. We saw it earlier in the game. And it's just, you know, that's something that they've struggled with all season, is just, you know, having that discipline on the offensive end. And then injuries and guys in and out of the rotation. We've seen that all year too, whether it's Kevin Durant missing time with the COVID protocols, or Kyrie Irving missing time to be for a personal time, or James Harden with a hamstring, or Kevin Durant with a hamstring, and then it ends up being Kyrie Irving going down. I mean, it kind of just shows you how when one guy goes down in Brooklyn, because they went so far all in on star power, you know, I'm sure they would have loved to have Caris LeVert or Jared Allen now, right? Instead of having a one-legged James Harden and no Kyrie Irving, I'm sure they'd rather have, you know, no Kyrie Irving and maybe Caris LeVert and maybe Jared Allen and maybe Torian Prince. That depth that they gave up to go get that third star, I mean, that could have been the difference in a game seven last night where nobody was hitting, Joe Harris wasn't really anywhere to be found. But it's just the nature of the game. You know, everybody got injuries this year. It's really a tough way to lose if you're the Nets, especially after the way they had to gut this one out just to get to overtime. That shot that Kevin Durant hit over Pete, I mean, a turnaround fading, yeah, almost three-pointer. I jumped out of my seat, number one. And number two, how close it was to actually being a three. I mean, that shot could have ended the Bucks season right there. And it's a mixed reaction for the Nets, because number one, it's like, you know, you shouldn't have been there in the first place after Kyrie goes down, and with James Harden on one leg. You know, I thought the Bucks were going to win in six right after Kyrie goes down. They force a seven, but then at the same time, it's like, you know, you guys, at that point, if Joe Harris can get a couple buckets to drop, if Kevin Durant gets that shot to drop, if James Harden doesn't miss almost all his shots, like, you know, they almost pull it off anyway. So it's really a season full of mixed emotions, and guys are still looking forward to next year. It just depends on who's going to be in town.
Well, I threw this out there. I mean, Harden had 22 points. He had 9 rebounds, 9 assists, but you know, his shooting, what was he, 5 for 17, 2 yeah. for 12 from 3.
Yeah.
Would they have been better off if he hadn't played?
You know, that's a question that I'd ask myself as well, because for a second I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what happens if Steve Nash plays Mike James instead of James Harden, right? And to the naked eye, it's like, okay, well, why on earth would you play Mike James, who can be erratic at times, in the game, instead of James Harden? Well, putting Mike James out there actually puts a guy out there that can put pressure on the rim, and that's what Harden could not do. You know, he was resigned to shooting step backs and trying to play quarterback from top of the key instead of really trying to create offense for himself by getting to the lane. We saw him get those free throws early. I think he took 7 free throws in the first 7 minutes, and that's what you like to see from Harden. But part of the beauty of the Nets offense is they're able to break down defenses to the point where the defense has to collapse, and then you have to hit that shooter. You have the luxury of hitting that shooter in the corner. Right now, that shooter in the corner isn't open anymore, because the only person capable of breaking down a defense that's healthy is Kevin Durant. And as great, and we saw how great Kevin Durant is at doing all this, you just can't have only one guy that can break the defense down. So, yeah, you know, I kind of agree with you. I would have liked to see Mike James out there for some of these minutes, but at the same time, you gotta trust your star out there. You know, if you think having Harden out there is going to give you the best shot, and he's still a decoy, because even if he's not 100% healthy, the defense has to respect him at least a little bit as if he's going to score, then yeah. But I still think having the actual threat versus a decoy of a threat is two different things. And we've seen Mike James hit some big shots in his brief time in Brooklyn. So I was looking for him to get some minutes, and he never did.
Well, and there's the other problem now. And you know, we can second guess Nash here, but the starters all got 50, you know, minutes plus. Griffin got 40 and 46 to Harris, but other than that, 50 minutes plus. The bench guys got almost nothing, not even 20 minutes combined. Was that a mistake, really going to the main horses, whipping them a little bit too hard?
No, I think when you're in this situation, game 7, you've got to leave it all out there with the guys that you trust. I think more than than that, than the rotations, you know, final possession of the game, Steve Nash doesn't call a timeout and instead lets Kevin take it full length of the floor and then settle for a turnaround fading shot over Drew Holiday that falls short. You know, if he calls a timeout, what kind of look is he able to draw up for Kevin Durant? You know, and I see both sides. You want to have KD have a chance to go up against a Bucks defense that's not yet set, but once he picks his dribble up, you know, I think that's the time to call the timeout, you know, and instead he shoots a turnaround fading shot over Drew Holiday and it's over. So I think there's a bunch of different ways we can look at this game. I think it boiled down to, I asked Jeff Green where this one went, where this one got away from the team. He said immediately offensive rebounds, which is an area that the Nets have struggled all season long. And then you have to call a spade. Joe Harris did not play well in this series after game two. A no-show, if you ask me. Couldn't find a shot. Couldn't hit open shots. This is the guy who led the league in three-point percentage in the regular season. This is the guy who just signed, a four-year, $72 million contract because he's supposed to be the guy who can hit open shots. He could not hit open shots. These weren't tough shots. These weren't contested shots. These weren't off-the-dribble fading shots that we're seeing Kevin Durant. These are wide open shots that he's hit time and time and time again, and he just couldn't get shots to drop. And when such a big part of your offense is missing, while already big parts of your offense and Kyrie Irving and James Harden are missing, it's just tough. So, like I said, there's a lot of things that we can point to, but I personally think that once Kyrie went down with that injury, this series is over then and there.
There's a lot of free agency involved here.
Sure.
And going forward, I know that it's hard to do the day after you're eliminated, but do you look at this as instructive and think, okay, we've got to do a couple of things roster-wise, or do they take the attitude, you know what, if our guys were healthy, we would have won? How do you think they view this?
I think you look at it both ways. I think, yes, if your stars are healthy, you would have won this series, but you still see those glaring holes that you need to fill. Number one, you're getting crushed on the glass every night, and you're not playing DeAndre Jordan, who you gave $40 million over 4 years to. So you've got to figure a way out to fix that. You have to get a guy who's going to be able to grab some rebounds, block some shots, and run the floor. Whether you're going to be able to get one on the veteran's minimum remains to be seen, but if you can, that's priority number one. Then you got to make some decisions we just spoke about Joe Harris, and I don't think it's time to press the big red button and trade him. But if Joe Harris isn't going to be able to hit shots, you know, in pressure moments, and then on top of that, he's talking at this point in his career, talking about, hey, you know, I've got to be able to do more than one thing out there. If he's not able to play some lockup defense, you know, we call them, you need a 3-and-D wing. If you're only getting a 3 wing and the 3 isn't hitting, you might have to look at ways to maybe replace that. You know, I think the Nets now, you know, there was some, like, people were uncertain as to whether you want to bring Spencer Dinwiddie back, whether Spencer Dinwiddie leaves, whether you want to trade him. Now you realize you need Spencer Dinwiddie as an insurance policy because Kyrie could get hurt at any moment, Kevin could get hurt at any moment, James could get hurt at any moment. But at the same time, it's crazy because regardless of everything that we say here, the Nets were still one shot away from making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? And at that point, it's like, okay, without some best players and with these glaring issues, you still almost make it. So I'm of the belief that, yes, if they are fully healthy with this roster, they can run it back, they can run the table and win it all. But I think it would behoove them to find themselves a big man that can play the DeAndre Jordan role without actually being DeAndre Jordan, since that's not the direction they want to go. And I think they need a gritty defender, a guy like a P.J. Tucker, you know, a guy who can defend the best player on the other team and shoot threes and not really have to shoulder too much of the offensive load. We saw Kevin Durant playing a lot of defense on these guys. Bruce Brown was doing great, but as you mentioned, he could be a free agent and leave next year. So there's going to be some roster decisions to make for sure, and the Nets definitely have their work cut out for them.
Final thing, hard to predict injuries, but I'm sure you're aware of LeBron's comments, and I saw this comment and all of that. Do you attribute validity to that? Do you think that the league and the Players Association maybe agreed to a little bit too much too soon, or how do you see this going forward?
I think so. I tend to agree with what LeBron said. I mean, I think that was it. I might be accurate in saying that the Lakers and the Heat, after going to the NBA Finals, only had like 40 or so days of rest before starting the season, you know, and I'm pretty sure a week of training camp for all teams and then a week of preseason and then right into it. And not only right into it, but right into 72 games in a limited time. I remember in January, the Nets played 17 games in 31 days. That's ridiculous, you know? And it's not an excuse for any one team, right? Because everybody had these injuries. But we've been seeing some of the biggest names go down due to injury. And that's because the biggest names are carrying this massive load. I'm pretty sure nobody in their right mind would have thought Kevin Durant plays 53 minutes. He played a combined 141 minutes in his final three games. This is a guy in the first season back from rupturing his Achilles. This is a guy who missed extended time in the regular season due to a hamstring injury and then a thigh injury. James Harden is playing on one hamstring, also played all 53 minutes. I mean, it's crazy, but this is the type of season that everyone has had, and these players wanted to play, right? Because if they don't play, we don't know how much the Nets end up losing by, and that's kind of what they were saying. So I do agree with LeBron to an extent. You know, at the same time, you've got to play who's in front of you, right? And I think that's really the bigger takeaway. This is a Bucks team that held it down. The Bucks could have folded last night. They won a tough game on the road in Brooklyn. And I've been saying the whole time, hey, I think whatever team wins between the Nets and Bucks are going to go on to win it all. And if you ask me, it looks like the Bucks are your 2021 NBA champions.
Yeah, could be. Do you see next season, full season, or do you see a shortened season? How do you see this shaking out?
I think it should be a full season, 82 games. I think I don't want to say we've moved beyond the pandemic, but I think at least have adjusted to it, to life after COVID-19, to where I think guys can, you know, go back to their normal routine. I think the only reason the league started it so soon and shortly in terms of the amount of games in a season was just because they were trying to salvage the season, right? That season had to start late. Basically on Christmas, and you didn't want to extend it all the way out beyond where it's gone now. So I think we see a full 82 games now next season. I think we see a lot of the star players that ended up getting hurt having a full off season to kind of rehab and kind of just get their minds right and their bodies right. I mean, this was kind of, I don't want to call it a dress rehearsal, but for a team like the Nets who had so much going on in one season in terms of trades, in terms of injuries, guys are in and out of the rotation. Steve Nash, a rookie head coach, and quite frankly, making some rookie mistakes. It happens. I think this is kind of a dress rehearsal, you know, and I think next season we're going to see the best foot from a lot of these teams, including the Nets.
Sounds good. Okay, Christian, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights.
Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
Okay, Christian Winfield, Daily News on the Nets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.